I'm Chad Groening. Republican Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire has withdrawn his nomination to be Commerce Secretary.
This is not going to work for me. I have found that on issues such as the stimulus, there are irresolvable conflicts.
Gregg was named the Commerce nominee a week ago after the withdrawal of former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. A GOP senator is disturbed that nearly all Republicans on Capitol Hill were shut out of the process of crafting the economic stimulus package, a measure he warns will pass $1.2 trillion worth of debt on to future generations. AFN's Jim Brown reports.
House and Senate Democrats, along with three Republican senators, have agreed to a $789 billion conference report that will soon be voted on by both houses of Congress. The package was crafted Tuesday night without the help of one Republican member of the House. South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune says despite all the talk of bipartisanship on the bill, the process has been anything but that.
There are 535 members of Congress. There are only three Republicans in the House and the Senate combined who voted to support this massive spending bill. And in fact, far more Democrats in the House. There were 11 Democrats opposed to the bill versus the three senators who voted to pass it. So I think you could say that the most bipartisan this part of this spending bill has been the opposition to it that's been in the House of Representatives.
Senator Thune says he cannot support the bill because it contains too much wasteful spending that creates long-term liabilities for taxpayers. He notes that $800 billion is the cumulative amount of debt the country incurred between the time of the Revolutionary War and the presidency of Jimmy Carter. I'm Jim Brown.
Oil prices keep dropping, but gasoline prices are going up. Oil has been sliding closer to a new multi-year low. At the same time, retail gas prices are reaching a new high for 2009 and appear headed back to $2 a gallon. A leader in the Southern Baptist Convention says it is possible for evangelical Christians to oppose left-wing policies of President Barack Obama and also pray for him as commanded by Scripture. AFN's Ali Martin has more.
Dr. Richard Land is president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the SBC, the public policy agency of the denomination. The ERLC keeps Southern Baptists informed about moral, religious, and public policy issues. This week, Dr. Land was a guest on Today's Issues from the National Religious Broadcasters meeting in Nashville. He says evangelical Christians can show respect for the office of the president while also proclaiming a prophetic voice to the culture.
First of all, we're commanded to pray for those who are in authority. And I pray for his safety. I pray for his family's safety. I pray that God will give him wisdom. I also pray with the promise that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it whithersoever he wills. And so I'm praying that God will change Barack Obama's heart and change Barack Obama's mind on those issues where we disagree.
Dr. Land says Christians must oppose President Obama's policies on life and marriage. However, he says there are issues where evangelicals agree with the president.
He's made some very bold statements about needing to encourage and foster fatherhood in the black community and the fact that a lot of what ails the black community is a result of fatherlessness. And, of course, he sets a tremendous example for that.
Dr. Land compared the pro-abortion argument to the same arguments that were used to support slavery in America. He says the only way either could be justified is to make slaves or babies a less than fully human. I'm Ali Martin.
A pro-family organization is promoting the idea of academic freedom on the 200th birthday of Charles Darwin. AFN's Pete Shagnon has the story.
Brian Fisher is the executive director of the Idaho Values Alliance. He says that evolutionists around the world are celebrating the 200th birthday of Darwin as if it is the birth of Christ himself. But he adds that all across the U.S., public school systems are suppressing any scientific voices that are skeptical of Darwinian theory. But a group of students in Idaho is working to promote academic freedom.
And so these students at Boise State and a couple of other four-year colleges here in the Boise area have decided to turn Darwin's birthday into Academic Freedom Day.
I'm Pete Shagnon.
And that is American Family News to the Hour. I'm Chad Groening.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're in the book of Joshua, discussing a few related, a little bit off topic, but somehow we find an entrance into some of these things as we go through Joshua. And they're dividing up the land, of course, discussing the law of God and the law of inheritance and things like that, as we have occasion here. How they divided up the, gave the cities, basically, to the Levites, the priests, for their inheritance with their suburbs around. How the families, the rest of the families who were sojourners in the wilderness for 40 years, were able to live out in the rural areas. And had their inheritance by their families in the lands and divided up accordingly. Each family would decide, or each clan or tribe would decide how to divide up the land in that family or that tribe according to the need of that tribe. So we see that we're in chapter 21. And verse 43, and the Lord, yes, Yahuwah by name, gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. So at this time it says he gave Israel all the land which he swore to give to their fathers. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And there failed not aught for any good thing which Yahuwah had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. So here we see a complete fulfillment of the promises, of the land promises given. It says he gave it all to them, that it all came to pass. So we can remember that when we're thinking about it, that it all, what he gave, what he promised to their fathers, it all came to pass. And there it is. And if it has come to pass, well, that means it has come to pass, hasn't it? Does that mean it will come to pass in the future? Well, only what he promised to come to pass in the future will come to pass. But it says here that it all came to pass. That he gave them all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. He gave it to them. Now let's see what they're going to do. Are they going to keep it? I mean, that's the real question. You know, it's like the question that the Patriot, at least there is rumored to have said when he came out of the convention, what kind of government have ye? A republic if you can keep it, is the purported phrase that was given then. Well, they were given a republic if they could keep it. And it was, because it was truly, it was the government of the people, by the people, for the people. We see it by the cities of refuge there, that the people got to judge. They had a system of judges set up. That didn't go away just because they went in the land. They brought their government with them. They had judges because they didn't have a king like the other nations at this point. Yes. And I just gave it away. They're not going to keep it. They want it like the other nations. They're going to give up the form of government that the Creator, that Yahuwah gave them, that he promised to them. They're going to give it up because they want a king like the other nations. They want to be like the other nations. How sad. How very sad. So, that ends chapter 21 of Joshua. And it looks like we'll finish Joshua today. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses the servant of Yahuwah commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you, and you have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And basically, because they had their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, they crossed over to help their brethren also get their inheritance. That's what he's saying. And now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return ye and get you into your tents and into your land, to your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed and do the commandments of the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God. Yes, to love, and it would be written in the received text, to love Yahuwah your God, and to walk in all his ways, and keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Wonderful words coming out of the mouth of Joshua, or Yahshua, because he had that name too, and he was a type of the Messiah. But the words, these are good words for me. You know, he could say these to me, and I just love to hear them. Yes, I will take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged. Of course, we know that I don't have to sacrifice animals for sin offerings and all of that anymore. That was done away with. The priest temple sacrifice system was done away with. You know, just read the book of Hebrews. We know that, you know, we don't have to do that anymore. Should we keep the Passover? Well, why not? The Passover, just thinking about it, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to keep the Passover. Because the Passover was a reminder of what? Of when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and how their firstborn were spared. That's what it was about. Of course, it was a type also that Christ was our Passover lamb. But should we not keep it? I think we will be keeping it in the millennium. I'm pretty sure that we will keep the Passover in the millennium. I'm not practiced at it myself. I know that some are out there that are practiced at it, or think they are anyway, and for whatever reason they're keeping the Passover, but it's not a very widespread thing going on. But I'm not going to worry about it right now. Okay, so we continue, chapter 22, verse 6. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went into their tents. Now to the one half-tribe of the Manasseh Moses had given possession in Bashan, and unto the other half thereof Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also into their tents, then he blessed them. And he spoke unto them, saying, return with much riches to your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, with gold, with the brass, and with the iron, and and very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which was in the land of Canaan, to go forth to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of Yahuwah by the hand of Moses. And when they came into the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes, and each chief house a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of the fathers according to the thousands of Israel. And there we see another little picture of the family government. I'm going to say that again just so that you get an idea. With him 10 princes, each chief house a princess throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. So you had these 10 chief princes. These are the princes, the heads of the family clan, the head of the tribe. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe Manasseh in the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of Yahuwah, What trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have built an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we were not cleansed unto this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of Yahuwah? But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession amongst us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell upon all the congregation of Israel, and that man perish not alone in his iniquity? And so they're talking about the circumstance we talked about where that one man stole, basically, and he coveted. He saw things against the commandment of God, and he took them, and that 36 men died. Beside that, then him and his whole family perished. So he perished not alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. But we have built us an altar to turn from following, that we have built an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or a meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, In time to come your children might speak to our children, saying, What have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben, and children of Gad, you have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, Let us now prepare and build us an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, You have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be when they should say to us, to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, Behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord, and turn this day from following Yahuwah to build an altar for burnt offerings, or for meat offerings, or for following for sacrifices besides the altar of Yahuwah our God that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregations and the heads and the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and to the children of Manasseh, This day we perceive that Yahuwah is among us, because you have not committed this trespass against him. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of Yahuwah. And of course they're talking about the hand of judgment. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad out of the land of Gilead unto the land of Canaan. to the children of Israel and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and they did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And you can see here how seriously they took any rebellion against the Heavenly Father, against their God, Yahuwah. And they thought when they saw them build this altar, they thought perhaps it was rebellion, and they went to make a judgment thereby and found out that it was a memorial so that no one would forget that just because they were on the other side of the Jordan that they did not serve the same God as Israel on the other side of the Jordan, the ones that had crossed over. So, somewhat simple. But the thing to be learned there is how seriously at this time they took it, and how they recounted the circumstance when one man sinned and the whole nation suffered. And they were not going to allow that to happen. They learned their lesson well. We'll see how long they remember it. So the thing blessed the children of Israel. And chapter 22, verse 34, and the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, called the altar. And it says here, for it shall be a witness between us that Yahuwah is God. They called it. It says here, Ed, but I don't even have a number for that. So apparently that's not even the original text. And it's in italics. It's kind of peculiar. I've never seen anything like that before. So they called the altar basically a witness between us that the Lord, that Yahuwah, is God. So that was their purpose for the altar, a witness. And it came to pass, chapter 23, verse 1, and it came to pass a long time after that, that Yahuwah had given rest unto the children of Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for the elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and you have seen all that Yahuwah your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, he that fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And Yahuwah your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them out from your sight. And you shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And see here, this is conditional. This will happen if they are careful, if they are courageous to keep and do all that is written in the law of the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from therefrom to the right hand to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them, but cleave unto Yahuwah your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out them from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for Yahuwah your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that you love Yahuwah your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for certainty that Yahuwah your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Oh, man, they're given a warning here by their type of the Messiah, Yahshua. And, well, we all know how it went, if we know anything, that exactly what he warned them would happen if they strayed and embraced the idolatry of their neighbors would happen to them. Well, that's what happened to them. And I'm telling you right now, all of you that are listening, if you embrace the idolatry of the world, what do you think is going to happen to you? If you don't come out from it, if you don't diligently seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, what's going to happen to you? And what's going to happen to your seed? Because if you don't do it, is your seed going to do it? If you don't do it, fathers, is your sons going to do it? If you don't teach them, somebody else will teach them something. If you don't teach them at home, if you don't homeschool them, although if you're teaching them at home, school is not really the right word, but we'll go with the new definition of school. And we'll say it's an education. If you don't home educate them, well, they will school them in their public school system. What do you think will happen? Just what Joshua's warning would happen to Israel is going to happen to every single one of us on a personal and on a family level if we don't follow in his ways. Let's continue here. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive them out. He said, they will be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, till you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. You know, we need to put off all of the pollutions of idols in our lives and in our congregations. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll conclude the book of Joshua. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Okay, you're back. Hey, I'm back too. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to conclude the book of Joshua here. I'm going to take a little aside here with Joshua's warning when he says, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will not drive out any of these nations from before you. They shall be snares and traps." And here, there's snares and traps all around us, you know. We can apply this part. The ungodly, the idolaters around us are snares and traps unto us, and scourges in our sides and thorns in our eyes. And he says, and he's warning them, if you make marriages with them, you know, if you don't cleave to your God, you go into them and they come unto you. And speaking of the ungodly, that's why we're called to come out of her, my people, to be in the world but not of it. That's what's being described here, because they're to drive them out, of course. But we're in a different situation. We're in the world, but we're not to be of it, because when we're of it, we're taking part of their idolatry, taking part in their idolatry, marrying with the ungodly, and giving and taking in marriage. They come into us. We go into them. We take part in their idolatrous rituals. We allow the pollutions of idols into our homes and into our congregations, like the Christmas tree and the Merry Christ Death Service, which is the masquerade as the birth of Jesus. And then you have the Ashtaroth Sunday, yes, Easter, the fertility worship, the bunnies and the eggs. What do you think it's about? And you got one coming up here in a couple days. Valentine's Day, another fertility goddess worship day. Then they have their heart symbol. And I'll tell you, even the Catholic Church knows the difference between a heart, cardia, and the heart, the other symbol of Valentine's Day, which they equate with love, right? And so they have their symbol for love. But what is that symbol really? Well, like I said, the Catholic Church has it right. They have their Immaculate Heart symbol, and they use the symbol of a real heart. It looks more like a fist. Cardia, it looks more like the physical heart. So at least they know the difference between the cardia and the opening of the matrix, because that's what that heart symbol is all about. And Cupid and Valentine's Day, and you get struck by the Cupid's arrow and the little hearts come floating out of your head, and that's what it's all about. You're worshiping the opening of the matrix. And that's the kindest way I can say it. And all of you adults know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe some of you have heard it before. Maybe some of you have never heard it. But there's the ring of truth. There, it's red or pink. And it's shaped like the opening of a matrix. It's not shaped like a cardia. And it's polluted the entire society. It's everywhere you go. The symbol of the opening of the matrix. Yes, it is idolatry. And this thing would not have been allowed in Israel at all. But most people don't even, are so mind controlled that they don't even know what's in front of their eyes. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which Yahuwah your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land which he gave you when you have transgressed the covenant of Yahuwah your God which he commanded you and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourself to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. Yes, goodbye to the American Christian. Goodbye. Same thing. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and their heads, and their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, Thus saith Yahuwah, God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. Of course, now this is the Creator speaking through his prophet to the people. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto Yahuwah, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And you know, there were many standing there. Their eyes did see it, because they were children at the time of course, that generation, the generation of grown-ups, of men of war, they all died, but their children grew up another 40 years. So many standing there did see it with their own eyes. And of course, we know that Joshua and Caleb saw it, and they were among the few who were adults at that time who did see it. Chapter 24 and verse 6, I brought you and your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto Yahuwah, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Verse 8, chapter 24. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. And I sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards that you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear Yahuwah, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve Yahuwah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Of course, Joshua speaking to the whole congregation. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake Yahuwah and serve other gods. For the Lord, our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And Yahuwah drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve Yahuwah, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he's done you good. And what he's saying is, just because God's been good to you, you can't now turn away from him, because you will suffer for your disobedience. You know, I think that's what a lot of people, oh, things are good. Oh, God's not going to hurt us. God has only been good to us. God bless America. Yes. He will not do us good. We can have Easter bunny. Oh, you know, why would we want to deprive our children of candy and gifts? You know, it's the candy and gifts bribe. Well, I was bribed with candy and gifts. Oh, and what a joyous thing it was. Oh, I have such fond memories around the Christmas tree. Yes, such fond memories of the Easter bunnies and the baskets and all the gifts we exchange. Fond memories. Why would I want to deprive my children of that? Yes. See? God will understand. Yeah, he understands all right. He understands that you're putting something before him. He understands that you're failing the test and you're justifying it by your children. He said, if you love your father, your mother, your son, your daughter, even your own life before me, you're not worthy of me. Don't you get it? You can't do it for the children. You can't say it's okay because we don't want to deprive the children. Because, of course, Jesus wouldn't want the children to not enjoy candy and gifts, would he? Certainly, Jesus wouldn't ask me to do that, would he? And that's how they justify it. Oh, what will the neighbors think? And what will my relatives think? Oh, no, they'll think I'm cuckoo. They'll think I'm nuts if I don't go along with what's been, what we practiced for the last, century. We don't take part in the rituals of the society as they've developed and have the Coca-Cola Santa Claus and all of these new icons and idols and images and bow down to them for the children's sake, of course, because we don't want to deprive them of gifts and candy. So we have to continue the bribes. After all, we were bribed with gifts and candy. So we'll bribe our children with gifts and candy, and it will make it difficult for them to deprive their children of what we enjoyed when we were children. Yeah, if you don't mind being separated from God, you can think of a lot of good reasons to continue in the pollution of idols. If all you need is an excuse, well, there are hundreds of so-called teachers and hypocrites and Christians and pastors and men out there who have fancy stories to tell you and will help you to justify continuing in the pollutions of idols. And I've heard a good many of them. And they sounded good. Some sounded good at the time I heard them. But I keep reading the Word of God. And it keeps bringing me to the other conclusion, that we need to put off all these pollution of idols. For the Lord our God, Yahuwah by name, He it is that brought us up, our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Yes, have you been brought out of the house of bondage? Were we not all slaves of sin when He adopted us into His family? Do we now turn back from the plow? Do we now love our children, our mother, our father, more than we love Him? Then we're not worthy of Him. Chapter 24 and verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. No matter how hard you try to justify it, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after you. After that He hath done you good. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord our God. Nay, but we will serve Yahuwah by name. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Yahuwah to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto Yahuwah, God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words of the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of Yahuwah. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of Yahuwah which He spoke unto us, and it shall be there for a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served Yahuwah all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. and which had known all the works of Yahuwah that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. And that ends the book of Joshua. Joshua lived to be 100, and 110 years. So after they entered the land, he lived another, 25 years. And Israel served. They were afraid to be disobedient. And I wish that we were afraid to be disobedient. Oh, give us that fear of Yahuwah. Give us that fear of God, that beginning of knowledge. And truly we will understand if we fear. Because the reality is we should fear disobedience to our God, to the God of Israel, to our Creator. We should fear being disobedient to Him as we would fear holding our hand in the fire, as we would fear stepping out in front into the traffic on a superhighway. That's how we should fear doing disobedience. But we don't, because people do disobedience. They sin once, and they think, rather than repent out of fear, they think, oh, I can do that. I can get away with it, because He allows them to get away with it. He's testing us to see what sort of people we are. He is looking for a people that will serve Him, that will live a life by obedience, choose a life of obedience, because they want to please Him, and because they fear what will happen if they don't. Fear is a healthy thing. Fear of holding your hand in a fire is a healthy thing. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, He gave us the feeling of fire, the feeling of heat, of burning, so that we would withdraw our hand from the fire. He gave us His Word, and He's given us history for the same purpose, so that we will withdraw from sin. He's given us His Word, and so many illustrations, so many examples, so that we will withdraw our lives from the consuming fire of sin and idolatry. National Israel couldn't do it. I don't believe any nation can do it. Only individuals. He always had His remnant, and He always will have His remnant. Who is His remnant? His remnant is in the earth. His remnant is a holy nation. His remnant have been all of those who by faith chose a life of obedience from Him. From Adam and Eve in the beginning, when they repented and chose a life of obedience, all the way down to you and me who are living today a life of obedience, who are on the road of righteousness, repenting as we go along the way, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, departing from evil, having our minds renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. There are so many ways we can put it, but there is nothing more important than that we cross the border into His kingdom, become a part of His holy nation, fear to do evil, fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Well, in everything you say and do, as always, hallelujah. Praise His holy name.
For those under the clouds, staring up in awesome wonder, as tears come slowly down, I'm reaching up a needful hand. And You are my eyes when I cannot see. You are my voice here. I freely stumble down, I feel your hand.